Blind dating can be scary, but you never have to be scared about what you find when you shop on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast. Whenever you start your shopping with our link, robhaswebsite.com/Amazon, and in Canada, robhaswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy better known to millions as the old kid on the block, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and I'm moving, and the bell is packed. That's an app bell for you. My co-host for All Things Amazing Race, Jessica Leese.
Hello, Rob.
How are you, Jess?
I'm very good, Rob. How are you?
Jess, I'm okay. I'm okay. Lot to do this week, but boy, I am very excited to talk about. Here we are, season 26 of The Amazing Race. Blind date, Amazing Race. They said it would never happen.
I don't think anybody conceived of it enough yes. to say whether or not it was ever going to happen.
Nobody ever speculated about the possibility of blind date Amazing Race?
Well, maybe like those people on the street that Jeff Probst talks to, but
yes.
other than them, nobody.
Does Phil talk to people on the street?
No, Phil is much cooler.
He doesn't talk
that.
To strangers, Phil.
No, Phil knows better than to talk to strangers.
Don't talk to strangers.
That's how you wind up tied up in someone's basement.
Yes.
In Phil's case, it's a very real concern.
Just keep your earbuds in. Just keep walking. Don't make eye contact, everybody out there. And that's how you stay safe and make it to season 26 of The Amazing Race, which is premiering on one big night, Jess. Wednesday night, February 25th, 90-minute premiere of Survivor, 90-minute premiere of The Amazing Race. So it's all happening. It's all happening in one big night.
I think there's only one thing we can conclude from that, and that is that CBS is trying to kill you.
No. They're not trying to kill us. They're trying to, they're almost like a loving mom, and you've come home from like school or being away, and they're like, eat, yo, you got so skinny, there's no shows, come on, eat, have more Survivor, how about some Amazing Race, come on. Yes. They're like a loving mother who's missed us while we were in the off season.
All right, I'll buy that for a quarter.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Jess. And also on top of that, it's going to be a very busy week of Amazing Race because we're going to get not one, not two, but 2.5 hours of Amazing Race next week.
That is a lot of Amazing Race.
Yes.
I guess I'm excited.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. And it basically 2.5 hours of Amazing Race in about what? 48 and a half hour span.
Just about. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot to do here tonight to get us ready for the Amazing Race 26, Amazing Race blind date. Just a quick note on our coverage for next week. What we're going to be doing on Wednesday night is it's the Survivor premiere. I am going to be live with Stephen Fishback at 9:45 to talk about everything from the Survivor premiere on Survivor Know-It-Alls. That's the same time Amazing Race is going to be airing on the East Coast. And so we're not going to do a live recap after the first episode of The Amazing Race, but Jess will have a podcast for everybody for Thursday morning. And then we will go ahead and bring you live coverage of the second episode of Amazing Race on Friday night. And any live questions that you wanted to ask from the premiere, feel free to ask us on our first live show on Friday night for The Amazing Race.
Yeah, but you can also tweet questions at me and we'll try to get to them when I do my non-live Memorex Amazing Race recap for the premiere.
Yes, so we're going to have all sorts of coverage. Plus, I'll get back with the first Survivor podcast of the season as well on Thursday. Plus, I'll speak with the first person voted out of Survivor on Thursday morning of next week also. So a lot to do. Plus, we're going to be crowning Mr. and Miss Survivor 2015, Jess, on Tuesday night.
Yeah, that's an even bigger milestone, if you ask me. That's been a really fun competition.
It's been a fun competition. We had the Mr. Survivor debate last night, which you could check out as well on robhasawebsite.com. So really, what off season was this? We did not get skinny.
Yeah, there was really no off season to be had. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be getting off this podcast with you and jumping on another podcast pretty quickly to recap the Mr. Survivor debates.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Jess. I love that there are podcasts on reality TV for hap-ups covering what we talked about on the Mr. Survivor debates. It's like, going back to my analogy, it was the Survivor offseason. It was the Amazing Race offseason. Mom thought we were up at college starving because, you didn't eat anything. There were no shows. We put on the freshman 15 while we were away. And then we're going to come back and now just be that. I mean, I think I'm doing 8 episodes of Rob as a podcast this week. And we're not even talking post show recaps.
And you're also moving.
Yes, yes. Plus, I'm backlogged with podcasts. I have podcasts that I've recorded that I haven't even gotten out to you guys yet. I spoke with Angie Konce. We did our types, her character type system for the new season of Survivor. I also spoke with David Bloomberg, formerly of Reality News Online, about the things survivors have should have learned by now going into this new season. And then later this week, I'm going to have the podcast with Corinne giving her cast assessment. So, so much to do. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get into it. Of course, we're going to, if you want to catch any more of this, fantastic content, make sure you subscribe to Rob as a Podcast, either on robaswebsite.com/iTunes or in your favorite podcatcher or via the Rob as a Podcast app, robaswebsite.com/app. All right. So, Jess, Amazing Race Blind Date, Amazing Race 26, set the stage exactly for what this is about. So I'm sure there's some confusion about, is everybody on this season a blind date?
It's roughly half and half. We have 11 teams, 6 of whom are people that have been dating and are in a, you know, coupled relationship of some sort. And then 5 of them are people that do not know each other that are being set up on what is being termed the ultimate blind date.
Jess, I know you're a romantic, much like myself. What do you think are the prospects that somebody will find true love with their Amazing Race cast partner on Amazing Race Blind Date?
Well, you know, people fall in love on Survivor. People fall in love on The Biggest Loser. People have fallen in love on The Amazing Race before. I think it is perfectly logical that one of these couples is going to work out.
You think so?
I want to be a romantic at heart. I think it would make for a much more exciting show if we saw actual sparks flying between one of these couples. And just as fervently as I hope that one of them will really hit it off, I want one of these couples to hate each other with the fiery passion of a thousand suns.
Okay, yeah, that's much more likely to happen. I was all ready to give a as to whether or not any of the couples would find love. But I definitely think that maybe like one or two will like hook up or something like that. Like there'll be some like some chemistry, but none of these couples will last. Mark my words on that.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, most of the people that come into this show as a couple don't end up lasting. So,
yeah, that's fair. I guess that's divorce rate is what, 50%. I mean, these people on the Bachelor and the Bachelorette, it's like they went and they tried to find 30 people that would be a perfect match for you. And, you know, 10 times out of 10, you know, a year later, they're split up. I mean, what are the chances that the one custom picked person in this arranged marriage is going to work out with this other person?
You know what would be even better, actually?
What's that?
Here's my new
Amazing Race arranged marriage.
I think that's a different show, Rob.
They had
that one where they were like, where they were set up on the arranged marriage.
Oh, with Mark and Mallory?
Here's what I want to happen. So we have 5 teams of blind date couples.
Yes.
That's like 8 single heterosexual people.
Yes.
What if one of the teams, like one of the people from one of the teams, falls in love with somebody on another team?
So you get to switch at one of the pit stops. That should be a good twist.
That would be a fantastic twist.
Yes.
Or you don't even get to switch. You have to continue to race against each other while, you know, you want to be together.
Okay,
it's
so
tragic. It's like Romeo and Juliet.
What road sign would you use to designate that when that happens?
Well, I'm not actually sure. What do we have left in the roadside lexicon that Amazing Race hasn't adopted on some other thing? Because I know we kind of moved away from the road sign analogies last season. They just called it a freaking save.
Yeah. So we'll see exactly what happens. I do hope that they give people the opportunity to switch at some point.
Yeah. I would kind of like that. Like, especially if it was a team that hated each other so much they couldn't stand each other and they begged to be paired off with somebody else. That'd be all right.
Although, I feel like if there's a team that hates each other so much, I don't want them to switch.
Yeah, I want them to beg for it, and then I want them to be rejected.
Yes, I want them to ask Phil if they could switch. That's always fun on these shows where you get like a couple that really doesn't like each other. And I think that could make for really good TV. That's why I know there's a lot of purists that are really down on the Amazing Race blind date. I know yourself included, Jess, and you put on a good face about it, but I know that you do not love this idea, right?
Yeah, I am willing to give it a shot because it might be entertaining, but I've got to be honest. Every single season of the Amazing Race, you go into it and almost always, the least interesting couple, the least interesting relationship dynamic is the young dating couple. So I want to know whose bright idea it was to say, well, let's take the most boring relationship type we have in our arsenal and let's make all of those people that type.
Yeah, yeah. Look, either it'll work and it'll be good, or if it doesn't work, then they'll say, okay, well, we need to go back to the drawing board. I mean, it just is... After a season that certainly did work last season, it seems a little bit crazy that they changed up the format so radically.
Yeah, it seems like if they'd done it after season 24, I could kind of see it because they need to try whatever they can to rescue a show that people are starting to hate. But, you know, last season was fun. I would take another plain old twist-free Amazing Race season over this strange monstrosity, which is Amazing Race mating with Blind Date in the hot tub and producing this, you know, three-eyed creature.
Yeah. Well, that is the ideal place to mate on these reality shows.
Exactly.
So I think that there could be some upside of a lot more like inter-team conflict with the Blind Date element. Like, I don't think that it's going to be like the six couples are going to get together or the five blind date couples are going to get together and they're going to like each other. I think that it's much more likely that the blind date couples being on the Amazing Race is already a stressful situation. I think that we are going to see people at each other's throats in the blind dates.
Well, yeah, especially when you consider that you're in a situation now when there have been previous team feuds on the Amazing Race, you at least had your partner there that more or less had your back. And now you're going into this with a person you don't even know. You don't know whether they have your back or not. And it could make for a lot more stress.
Yes. Jess, have you ever gone on a blind date?
I've gone on internet dates.
Internet date.
I've never been like set up on a blind date. No.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I ever did. I don't think so. Yeah, you would think I've been on so few dates that I would feel like I would be able to have an instant recall, but I can't think of one that I ever went on a blind date.
Yeah, it's not a thing. I don't think, because you and I, we've both been off the market since our mid-20s, and I think it's something you do when you're older.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Oh, you do blind dates more when you're older?
I think so. Like, I think it's more of a late 20s kind of thing.
Is it more like, oh my God, I'm getting older. I need to get married soon. I'll go out with anybody. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I think so. Because in your early 20s, you can kind of handle your business on your own.
Whoa.
What
do you mean by that, Jess? And are there even that many blind dates in 2015? I mean, I feel like with everybody has a Facebook page, if you were going on a date with somebody, you would think you would at least go and like get an idea what they look like.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like nobody just kind of walks in cold. Plus, you don't need blind dates as much anymore. You don't need your friends to fix you up because, you know, you've got your Tinder and your online personals and your OkCupids.
Yes.
There's a lot of venues to find people that you didn't have necessarily.
Yes.
Back in the day.
So other than for the sight impaired, the blind date is actually dead.
I think so.
Yes. Okay. We're going to say that officially and outside of the Amazing Race.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're trying to bring it. Maybe this is not trying to change the Amazing Race. Maybe this is trying to bring back the concept of the blind date.
Okay. So we'll see. Maybe it could be a thing. Maybe more and more blind dates could be happening. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk through the six traditional couples first, and then we'll talk about the five couples that are going to be on the blind date. And I'm going to discuss them, each of them as their team, not so much individually, even though their bio videos are showing each of these people individually.
Yeah, I think so. And you can also see a little bit of them in action. There's a preview video on CBS.com where you get like 5 second snippets of them out on the course. So we'll go by that as well.
Okay. All right, Jess, here we go. Let's talk about our first team tonight on our amazing race preview show. By the way, I want to set this up. We're live right now here on robisawebsite.com. We have got the chat room open at robisawebsite.com. We also are following your tweets, hashtag RHAP. And also, we're taking your questions on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. Just like we did on the Survivor preview, if you were following that, ask us your questions about the teams we're talking about. As we're talking about them, then we'll take questions from you guys as we go through rather than all at the end, okay?
Okay.
Makes sense? Okay, here we go. All right, let's talk about our first team. And this is, it's Allie and Steve.
All right, the Olympians.
Allie and Steve, this is the dating couple.
Yes, the dating, which one, Rob? We got six of those.
The Olympic dating couple. This is like how Survivor Robs versus Johns is going to be.
All right. I could go with that.
Okay. So there it's the Olympic. Boy, Amazing Race, U.S., Amazing Race, Canada. They love Olympics.
Yeah. Do you think Amazing Race U.S. is ripping off Amazing Race Canada here?
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, considering that they've gone with a radical format change. I'll say it's not a ripoff.
All right.
Allie and Steve, both Olympians, met in Sochi, right?
They met in Sochi. They've both been to two Olympic Games, but Sochi is the one where they met.
You know, they say that Sochi, Jess, they say that Olympic Village was, that was like the real life Tinder.
Yeah, I think it would be a real bonding experience.
Yeah, they say people just, that was like hookup city in Sochi.
Yeah, that was the party spot.
Yes, I have to ask one of the RHAP faithful, Josh Spalding, was there. I'm going to ask him if that was how it really was.
What I'd heard was that like the plumbing didn't work and the walls were caving in and stuff. But I'd be inclined to keep dating someone I went through that with.
From what I heard, the plumbing was working, Jess.
Oh, was it now?
That's what I heard. It was a real boy. People were earning gold medals left and right in Sochi.
Wow, everyone is a winner.
Yes, everybody was a winner. All right. Tell us about Allie and Steve.
All right, so Allie and Steve have been together for 7 months.
Okay.
And they met at the Olympics. And she is a speed skater, and he is a bobsledder.
Okay.
And they've both won bronze medals.
Yes.
So they got that going for them.
Okay. That's good. I feel like that's a good icebreaker of like, yeah, I got bronze. Oh, I got bronze. And I feel like together, that's a good shared thing.
It's a level playing field there. It's like, pre-merge contestants dating each other and post-merge contestants.
Yeah. Is bronze medal, is that sort of like, is there tiers in the Olympics of like, if you didn't place for medals, are you dateable to a medalist? And if you are a gold medalist, is a bronze medalist dateable?
Well, I'm given to understand that if you're a hot girl, then all the rules about tiers go out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're a bronze medalist, woman, can you date a non-medalist guy who's an Olympian?
I think you're not allowed. I think that's like might even be against like the rules of the IOC.
Yeah, like would this couple function if Allie was a silver medalist? Would she be slumming it to date to date Steve, who's a bronze medalist?
Her speed skating teammates might think it was kind of cute and quaint, like when you go to prep school and you date the townie.
And the fact that he has two bronze medals, like, what's the conversion on how many bronze medals would he have to be able to date a silver medalist? Four?
I'll go with that.
Or is that almost even more like he's just like is a glass ceiling type of thing of like that? It's almost worse if you have four bronze medals because it proves that you're just not a silver guy.
Well, you know, there's always next time.
Boy,
medalists, they never give up.
I'm calling it right now, Jess. Third place for Allie and Steve.
That would be poetic justice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But so, I mean, seriously, Olympic teams, they've historically done okay on the Amazing Race. We've got some big skates to fill here with Spooner and Mickelson taking the silver in the Amazing Race Canada.
Yes.
So I think I like their chances here.
Okay. Because the Olympians do not have a great track record on Survivor.
No, they certainly do not. Run it right into the ground.
All right. So besides about Olympians, what else do we know about Allie and Steve?
Well, they are kind of bland, but that is everybody on this season. So I kind of circled some things that I thought were interesting on their bio. I liked Allie's pet peeve about her teammate. She does not like those damn plaid New Englandy coral pattern shorts he wears. Why? In Tarot Bang.
Yeah, why does he wear those New Englandy shorts? What are New Englandy shorts? They're like Patriots logos?
No, it's like Madras plaid. It's like the other side of New England. You got your Patriots guys and you got your like country club guys. I think these are like country club shorts.
Like the Northeast.
Yeah, like you wear them with a sweater tied around your shoulders.
Okay. So he's a little bougie, Steve. Is that what we're thinking?
He might be. I kind of get that vibe from him. But I do like that he describes his occupation as racing down an icy chute, wrong spelling of chute, and wearing spandex one pieces with my closest buddies. So that means he's got a sense of humor about himself.
Okay, good. That's like bobsled humor?
I guess so.
Yes. All right.
And he's comfortable with his body if he's willing to wear spandex for a living.
I think most Olympians are comfortable with their bodies.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I think so. Does he list Cool Runnings as a favorite movie?
He does not. I bet he gets sick of people asking him about that.
You think that comes up a lot?
It probably comes up more often than you think.
Okay.
It's sort of like I have a friend who's an air traffic controller, and people constantly ask her if she's seen Pushing Tin.
Okay. I feel like the part about being on a bobsled team, I feel like that's an advantage here for Steve with Allie because, I mean, his whole job is like being on a athletic team of trying to like get through stressful situations, right?
Yeah. And one of the reasons that Spooner and Mickelson worked so well together for Amazing Race Canada was because they'd been on a team together. And this might be a problem that Allie and Steve run into, like he's probably much more of a team player than she is because she's a solo competitor.
Yeah. And as a speed skater, she's just going to want to go, go, go. Maybe that could be a problem because they might have different approaches.
It's true. And they're different strategies to winning bobsled versus winning speed skating.
Yeah. All right. What about anything else from Allie and Steve?
Well, they are one of many teams that cite their ideal vacation spot as somewhere with a great beach.
Like, yeah.
Everybody, they say, where do you want to go? And everyone is like, I want to go to the beach. And at least Allie names a few places. Like, she seems like she's really keen to travel, and they've both traveled a lot together. So I'm going to say they're going to be a very likable team.
You think they're going to be likable? I mean, I would think that as the Olympic heroes, you would think, that they would probably be perceived as likable. I'm surprised they want to go to the beach and not someplace with snow.
Maybe they're sick of snow. I mean, Rob, when you go on vacation, do you want to go somewhere that's got a podcasting studio?
Well, do you want me to answer that honestly?
Okay, maybe you're a bad case.
Why don't you ask my wife if that's what she wants? That might be a different answer.
Okay, yeah, that's a better...
Yeah. So what about this? They asked Steve, what accomplishment are you most proud of? Of course, he's proud of winning 2 bronze medals at the Sochi Olympic Games in Russia and double gold at the 2012 World Championships. Is that a little bit like if you asked me, what accomplishments are you most proud of? And I was like, well, I'm most proud of I came in 3rd place in Survivor the Amazon and I won Survivor Brooklyn.
I think it's more like you came in 3rd place in Survivor Amazon and you won 2 podcast awards in the same year.
Yeah, but podcast awards is not like my I feel like it's a little apples and oranges.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I don't know about the 2012 World Championships. I don't even know if you can watch those on like ESPN 12.
Yeah. Okay. So
does anybody care except people that are bobsledders?
Yeah.
I'm sure they care a lot.
Well, I need to go out and compete in Survivor Brooklyn this year so I can add that to my resume. All right.
Hey, I'll come out and watch that.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm waiting for my invitation. I'm going to work on my casting video after this. Anything else from Allie and Steve, or you want to move on?
Let's take some questions.
I think we've offended Scott St. Pierre. He said world championships are pretty big and are on TV. So that is an advantage.
Yeah, in Canada.
over Survivor Brooklyn, which is not currently yet on TV or YouTube. Okay.
It's not even on YouTube?
I don't think so. JJ Rules 07 says, who set up the blind dates, the producers or Tinder? Well, I believe this was the Amazing Race casting team, right?
Yeah, I guess they went out and found all these young hot singles.
But it's a good question. Is it Lynn? Is it Lynn Spillman? Is putting the matches together, or is it Bertram, or is it some combination of Amazing Race executives and CBS?
They have people like Survivor. They have some former contestants who go out. Like we've talked to Jody Winchesky on here before, and I know that she goes out and fetches people that end up going on Amazing Race and Survivor. So I'm sure there are things like that. And I found out today that someone on the current season of Survivor, and someone can tell me who because I don't remember, apparently someone was scouted on Tinder for the current season of Survivor. So maybe that's exactly where they got him.
Well, that really narrows it down to a couple of people.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. The question from Alex G. Will this be better or worse than All Stars? What do you think of that, Jess?
It would be hard to be worse.
Yeah. All right. Well, so the bar is not high.
How is it going to compare to Family Edition?
Well, if it's any sign, Jess, as I was watching the casting videos on YouTube, the next video that started playing was Phil like, we are here with Amazing Race history. 11 families are racing across the United States. So, I don't know. YouTube showed me a related video to this, Amazing Race Family Edition, Episode 1.
That's kind of sad.
All right.
Makes me look forward to it less.
Allie and Steve, what are the chances that they have seen some Amazing Race?
Zero.
Zero? Zero chance?
I do not think that they... I think the first Amazing Race they were ever in contact with was the DVDs given to them in their hotel room during casting.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's something. And, you know, I don't think you need to watch that much Amazing Race before you go do it. I don't think that's going to penalize you too much.
It's not a thing where the more you watch, the better you get at it. I think there's a kind of a... There's a steep learning curve, and then it kind of tapers off.
Because we've seen a lot of super fans come out and not do well.
That's true. It doesn't seem to help you as much as like being a Survivor super fan does.
Yeah. And even that doesn't always help you.
No, not always.
All right. Let's move on to our next team. This is, it's CJ. And how are we pronouncing this?
Well, I thought I heard her in her video. She kind of sounded like she was calling herself Libby.
Libby.
But, yeah. Libya is kind of how it's spelled. She is named after the country Libya, but her parents changed the spelling.
Okay. All right. You can do that?
You can do whatever you want. You can name your kid whatever you want. It's a free country.
Okay. All right. Libya or United States?
United States is the free country.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go.
I think there might be a law against what you can name your child in Libya.
All right. We'll just go with Libby here because I feel like I might mispronounce that and I don't want to get letters.
All right. Okay. Well, you're going to get letters anyway, Rob. Sorry to break it to you.
All right. So let's talk about CJ and Libby.
Okay. Now, these guys have been together, I think these ones have been together the longest of anybody else out there.
15 years.
Yeah, 15 years they've known each other.
Dating only for 10, though. But CJ's 26.
Yeah, so they've known each other since they were 10 and 11 years old. So that's pretty impressive.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's
They're still a dating couple?
Yeah, I have my note at the top here. Has christened them a team Where's the Ring.
Yeah, CJ, if you like it, put a ring on it, all right?
Yeah, and she's not going to let him forget that he has not yet done that.
Yeah, what's he waiting for?
He's probably waiting to go on Amazing Race Dating Couples Edition.
Is that what he was holding out? He's like, she's like, hey, where's my ring? He's like, hey, babe, can't get on Amazing Race Couples Edition if we get engaged.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe that Tyson will have a talk with CJ and Libby after all this to talk about pushing them into marriage. All right. So CJ and Libby, this is the dating couple.
Yeah, they are Team Alabama.
Yes. And CJ is an information technology. Maybe we can get him working on Rob as a website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, are you in the market for a new web person?
No, we're very lucky. We have an outstanding team behind the scenes. One of the things that we actually are doing a good job with, we have a great great people working on our technology. It's really the guy making the shows that's the weak spot.
Yeah, you definitely. Yeah, that guy Rob. Whatever.
Yes. Yes. All right. So what does Libby do?
She is a medical support assistant at the VA.
Okay.
So that's a very noble. Apparently she does. She says, I determine the eligibility and enrollment process for medical and dental benefits for applications concerning VA inpatient and outpatient care, which means she is the person this season that copied and pasted from her LinkedIn profile.
Oh, good. I didn't know people were doing that on CBS Bios.
Well, I think last season it was Keith that did that.
Yeah. Jess, did Amazing Race not supply us with custom hashtags for each team this season?
Apparently nobody could come up with hashtags. And I think, as we'll get to it, there's one team that tried to come up with their own.
Yes.
But everybody else is just kind of, I think, you know, the dating couple could just apply to all of them.
Yes, that should just be the hashtag on the bottom of the screen. Could they have just assigned them numbers of dating couple too?
They could, but then they do give, production actually gives you a number while you're on the race. And you have that number, like they identify you by your team number throughout the whole race. But then you end up in the position of like halfway through the race, teams like 5, 9, and 3 are still in it. And, you know, 1, 2, and 4 are not. And it gets very confusing.
Okay. All right. I like to check out this. What famous person reminds you of your teammates? I feel like that's a telling one. Helps us get to know these teams better. Famous person reminds you of your teammate. CJ says a Libby. The person that reminds him of her is Candy from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. They look a lot alike, and they have some of the same behavior patterns. Is that what you were thinking, Jess? Candy from Real Housewives?
I don't think it's ever a good thing to compare yourself to a real housewife.
Compare your wife to a real housewife.
Yeah, but she compares herself to the exact same Real Housewife. So apparently it must be a really strong resemblance.
Yes.
I'm not a Real Housewives aficionado.
Okay.
But I see that. I'm thinking that's a kind of alarm bells there.
Yeah. And then what famous person reminds you of your teammate? Libby says of CJ, reminds her of Deion Sanders, but not the crazy cheating part, but the fact that he's such a manly man, has traditional values, and is a great father and real entrepreneur. Prime time.
Yeah, but other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how's the play?
Yes. All right, pet peeves. Biggest pet peeve CJ has about Libby, she tells her mom everything.
That is a tough position to be in. That's not I like that these guys have actual pet peeves about them, about their partners, because
there are a couple on this list that are like, oh, I don't know what my pet peeve is. Nothing. He's perfect the way he is. Or it's something small and stupid like he's too cute and I can't keep up.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't suck kneecaps in your bios.
Yeah, no, these guys are honest, and those are real pet peeves that I think they've identified. I feel like they might have talked about them at some point, so okay. I like that. That bodes well for them.
Yes. And then did they get a pet peeve about Libby? Or I'm sorry, about CJ from Libby. It works my nerve every time he says, "Do you not see what I'm saying?" He feels the need to say this every single time he says something. It drives me crazy. All right, so maybe can I use this phrase? Do you not see what I'm saying? And also, I like it works my nerve.
I think we gotta start a tally, like on the show. How many times is he gonna say that on the air?
Yeah. Do you not see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing him say that a whole bunch of times.
Okay, I'm gonna try to work that into the podcast more. Do you not see what I'm saying? That's all.
You not see what I'm saying?
Well, that is a question for the people listening to the podcast version as opposed to watching the video.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. So,
all right. My other observation about them is that he cites one of his favorite hobbies as cooking, and she cites one of her favorite hobbies as eating. So okay. That's a match made in heaven right there.
Yes. That is a good match. That is a good match. Jess, are you having any issues hearing me?
Yeah, you're a little bit staticky.
Do you not hear what I'm saying?
I can kind of see what you're saying, if that's the question.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I apologize about the...
There you go. Okay. You're better now.
Okay. All right. I apologize about any sort of technical issues that we're having. And I can assure you that in the audio version of this podcast, I will have perfect audio.
Yeah. All right. I was worried for a second. It was me. And I was like looking around, where are my spare earbuds? But all right. If it's you, then great.
Okay. Good. All right. Anything else on CJ and Libby? How do you feel about them?
I think they're going to do all right. I don't get a winner vibe from them, but I think they're going to be a strong character team. I think we're going to like them. We're going to enjoy following along on their adventure.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing them going all the way.
No, I hope that they're going to be good TV and I think they'll be fun. But yeah, I'm not feeling great about the CJ and Libby thing. Now, how did they get on the Amazing Race? Are they big race fans?
These guys seem like they might have actually applied.
Okay.
I mean, nobody has really come out and said that they enjoy the show. I think there's maybe one contestant that has mentioned any prior knowledge of the program. So it's hard to tell, but I get the feeling from them that they probably are familiar with it at least and have at least joked about it in the past, if not sat down for every episode.
Is Amazing Race 26, is this the Survivor San Juan del Sur of Amazing Race seasons in that we're going to have a season where almost nobody has really seen the show before?
Well, it'll probably, maybe this is the one season where being a super fan is going to be an advantage.
Ooh, okay. Super fan bump.
Hey, okay. If that's the case.
All right. Let's move on. Let's go to our next couple here. Oh, it's Jeff and Lita.
Oh, Lida, I think.
Lida.
Yeah, the token old people.
Jeff and Lida. Yes.
Yeah. My comment on Jeff is spectacular pointy hair.
Whoa, good hair for Jeff. Okay, and this is the dating couple, right?
Yes, this is the dating couple.
Yes, they've known each other for 20 years now.
Yeah, and they've been dating for 4 years, so they knew each other, you know, before they were on the market.
Okay. So what is Jeff's problem? Why won't he put a ring on it?
Well, I think he might be gun shy. At least one of them has been married before.
Yes.
You know, they're just enjoying their twilight years together.
Yeah. And he is a Southwest pilot, and she has been a Southwest flight attendant.
Yeah, they have shared interests. They work in a similar profession. I think that bodes well for them. They're both travelers.
Yeah. Jeff and Lita, you are now free to move about the planet.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think I'd like their chances a little bit better if they flew on an international airline, but you know, I'll take that travel experience over other travel experience.
So you think a Southwest flight attendant and pilot do not fare as well as somebody who goes on international flights?
Right, right.
Okay, interesting. Interesting that there is a hierarchy of airlines to work for.
Oh, I think there definitely is.
Yes. Now, last season, we had flight attendants. Team mom, daughter were flight attendants, right?
Yeah, and I believe one of Tim and TJ was also a flight attendant.
Yes, I want to say it was Tim.
That sounds right.
Yes, and so did we ever establish, does anything having to do with flight attendant, is that an advantage in The Amazing Race?
Well, I would say both Shelley and Niecy and Tim and TJ acquitted themselves pretty well, but they didn't go all the way.
Yeah. Okay. So Jeff and Lita, okay, here is how they feel about what famous person reminds you of yourself, they asked Jeff. Yeah. He said, people have thought I look like JFK. What do you think of that, Jess?
Are these the people on the street?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, so JFK, I mean, I don't really see it either.
He's got Tintin's hair. That's the famous person he reminds me of.
Yes. And they asked him, what famous person reminds you of your teammate? Cindy Crawford. Wow.
Wow, exclamation point.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
All right. I was getting kind of a Famke Janssen vibe from her, from the Taken films.
Oh. So they asked Jeff pet peeve about your teammate. And it was a girly girl spending. It's not a deal breaker, but it makes her happy, and she certainly looks good. What's he saying? She spends so much money on makeup?
Yeah, she probably buys like hair product and fancy clothes and
girly girl spending.
Yep.
Okay.
I guess so.
Yes. They asked Lita, "What famous person reminds you of your teammate?"
I love this answer. This is fantastic.
Yes. A much more handsome John Davidson. Those dimples.
Is he still a famous person?
Yes. Who is?
What's he done since Hollywood Squares?
Yeah, John Davidson, the host of the 80s or 90s Hollywood Squares.
I mean, you guys can correct me in the chat room if I'm wrong.
Is there another John Davidson that we're missing?
I think that's the John Davidson there is.
Yeah, X gets the square.
All right.
Yes, and in the case of Jeff, it's EX gets the square. Okay.
Indeed.
All right, so what are we thinking about Jeff and Lita? Jess, what does your Amazing Race wealth of knowledge tell you about the 57-year-old and 49-year-old couple?
Well, I think in a normal Amazing Race season, you'd have a really big mixture of strengths and weaknesses, and sometimes you get an older team that, you know, either squeaks by round after round or ends up being surprisingly strong. Like, you have your Chuck and Winona team, you have your Bill and Kathy team, you have your Meredith and Gretchen team, but on a season where everybody is under 30 except these guys, I think that could be problematic for them.
Now, do you think that there could be some counterintuitive way that it's an advantage where the other teams are all very immature and fighting and maybe that cooler heads prevail?
That is possible. They seem pretty easygoing. In fact, the other person that Lida reminds me of is she reminds me of Missy from last season. Like, she's very sparkly and cheerful.
Wow. And
that could be an asset.
Roger that.
Especially because Jeff seems way, way less intense.
Yeah. And so she doesn't remind you of Missy in that she is not married again, though, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So she has, you know, some things and some things not for her.
Not Muffin. Misty.
Oh, Misty. Misty. Yeah. Okay.
What does Muffin think, though?
Like, who's Muffin? Okay. Misty as in Jim and Misty.
Yes. Misty as in Jim and Misty.
Got it. So what reminds you about Misty? Because I did not see that.
I think she's just got, the whole time they were in their video, she had this huge smile on her face. And she just seemed like she was ready to go in there. Like, I could see her mantra being similar to Misty's in that she's talking about sparkling in her head. And she's going to sparkle her way through. If she has never been in a beauty pageant, you know, I will eat a rock.
Wow. Okay. We'll work on that. We'll do that at the live know-it-alls. We'll do some research on that. So you feel like Jeff and Lita are going to struggle.
I think it's going to be an uphill climb for them. I don't think we're going to be excited when they go out, but I think they're going to have a rough time ahead of them.
See, I feel like I'll take a roll of the dice with Jim and Lita on a season where I feel like there could be a lot of infighting between the teams. I feel like if they're going to be able to get along well and sort of just not lose their top too much or blow their top, don't lose your top either on The Amazing Race. But if they can, you know, sort of just be like the calm team where everybody else is all frenetic, I feel like that could be an advantage for them.
Yeah, I could definitely see them being the team that everybody goes to when they want to bitch about one of the other teams.
Yeah.
And I could see them just being really cool about it. Like, yeah, I understand why you would feel that way. You know, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
I could see them being that team.
Mom and dad.
Yes, mom and dad.
Okay, so what do you say? Thumbs up or thumbs? You say thumbs down for Jeff and Lita.
Reluctantly thumbs down.
Yeah, I'm saying thumbs up. I feel like if everybody else is one way, you got one team that's another way, I think it's an advantage.
Fair enough.
Okay. In this particular season, maybe in another season, maybe not, but I like them here. All right. Hey, it's Harley and Jonathan Knight.
All right.
Jonathan Knight. Jess, do they have the right stuff?
Well, if they take it step by step,
yes,
they may find themselves hanging tough.
Yes. Yes. Here we go. Let's talk about Jonathan Knight. First off, what is your level of connection to the New Kids on the Block?
Well, I was the right age for the New Kids on the Block. I mean, I'm sure we have plenty of listeners who have no clue, who were like embryos when they were around, but I was the right age for them. I was always more of a Debbie Gibson kind of person, but you could not escape the New Kids on the Block when I was 10 and 11. They were everywhere, and you had to have an opinion on them. And I'm going to be totally honest. My favorite new kid was Jonathan.
Wow. And you were the one?
I was the one. And it was all because I had some issue of like Teen Beat, and they interviewed all the new kids, and they asked him like, they asked them things like, you know, what kind of music do you like? What's your ideal dream date? And his response to what kind of music he liked, he said, I like everything except heavy metal. And I don't know, I was 10. I thought that was impressive. I did not care for heavy metal at 10. And I said, clearly,
wow,
this means Jonathan and I are meant to be.
You guys had a similar shared aversion to heavy metal. Sorry, Billy Garcia, if you're listening.
Hey, I like it now, but I didn't back then.
You didn't then. And you said, well, this guy that I don't think I've ever heard that. This person doesn't like this. I don't like this. We must be meant to be. I've heard so many times by a shared thing, but a shared thing you don't like.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Also, I think every crush of my early adolescence, I think they all turned out to be gay, so that might have had something to do with it.
Ah!
I had a big thing for Anderson Cooper when I was 12.
What was Anderson Cooper doing when you were 12?
He was on Channel 1.
Oh.
This thing that they piped into your classroom.
Okay. So Anderson Cooper. Wow. All right. So
Anderson Cooper, Jonathan Knight. I there's a pattern here.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, are you excited that Jonathan Knight is on The Amazing Race, or do you feel like it's stunt casting?
It is absolutely stunt casting, but I'm not going to lie and tell you I'm not excited.
Yeah. Would you like to see more of this type of thing done on The Amazing Race?
I love the random nostalgia hit. I don't want a random person who is famous now. I want someone that nobody has thought of in 15 years, who has a very small devoted fan base still clinging to their last shreds of relevance. Those are the kinds of people I want to see.
So you're saying you would like me to go on The Amazing Race?
You know I'd watch it. You know I'd cheer for you.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Let's talk about, we know a little bit about Jonathan, right?
Yeah, we know a fair amount.
Yes.
I can't believe he still has that Boston accent.
Yeah.
You could cut it with a knife.
Didn't lose it. Kept it real.
Good for him.
All right. So how do we know Harley? What do we know about Harley Rodriguez?
He is a fitness trainer.
Oh.
And he's got a pretty big following, I guess.
Yeah.
Barry's Boot Camp is a known entity among fitness enthusiasts in New York City.
What's it called?
It's called Barry's Boot Camp.
Who's Barry?
I don't know, some dude that has a boot camp.
Okay. And yeah, he works there?
Yeah, he is a, yeah, he instructs, you know, he's a, teaches a class in, like, I guess, getting a beach body or something. I don't know. I don't take group fitness.
Okay.
But he seems like a nice guy. They seem like they're really into each other. They seem like they really get each other. They're very cute together. And they have, they are on the long-term relationship side of the equation if we're comparing everybody's like length of relationship on this series.
Okay. Another one of these people, these teams, if you like it, where's the ring? Put a ring on it.
Yeah, that, well, you know, it hasn't been legal in New York for very long. Maybe they're just taking their time planning the wedding.
Okay. All right. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So they asked, what famous person reminds you of your teammate? Okay. And Harley said, nobody. I even looked online and nothing. That Harley can't find one famous person that reminds him of Jonathan Knight.
I think it, I would have laughed a lot if he'd said Jordan Knight. It's like they could be brothers.
Yes. Okay. I don't know if Harley is as quick as you are, Jess.
Well, few people are.
Yes. And what is the touring status of the New Kids on the Block? Are they still out there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They the women that loved them when they were teenagers still love the New Kids on the Block. And they play, you know, they have a pretty strong following. I don't think they sell out MSG, but they will go on, like, they have a cruise that they do, and I think they hit up amusement parks, and they might even be a tier above the amusement parks.
Wow.
They could sell out the Beacon Theater.
Yeah, so. And it's all the real ones. It's not like when, like, Steve Perry was isn't in Journey and they found, like, a new guy to be in Journey. Like, it's all five of the real people?
I believe it is all five of the original New Kids.
Even Donnie Wahlberg?
Even Donnie Wahlberg.
Wow.
Who is a reality TV celebrity of some renown himself.
Yes, yes. All right, so they asked what famous person... I'm not sure. Did they ask Jonathan Knight what famous person reminds you of your partner? Because I'm not seeing that question from him.
He did not have a good enough answer to run.
Yes. All
right. He might have just left that blank.
All right. What famous person reminds you of yourself? They asked Jonathan Knight. He said, photographer Lynn Goldsmith called me young Elvis when I was young.
Well, he did have that kind of broody Elvis thing going on.
Yes. Much better than when I was young, and photographer Lynn Goldsmith said I reminded her of a old Elvis.
Yeah, or, you know, the Elvis Costello.
Yeah, the old bloated Elvis. That's that I reminded photographer Lynn Goldsmith of that Elvis.
That's never good, especially when you're young.
Yes. Yes. All right. Pet peeve Jonathan has about Harley. He's late for things. Well, that's not going to be good on The Amazing Race. You don't want to be late. That's a big thing that you want to avoid on The Amazing Race.
Yeah. And Harley's complaint about Jonathan is not much better. Says his pet peeve is that he complains a lot. And that's never something you want to do on The Amazing Race.
Yes. Complaining. That's no good.
Whining will get you kicked off The Amazing Race faster than it'll get you kicked out of Rafa's Fantasy Football League.
Yeah. I don't know if did we kick out somebody? We kicked out Rhino, I think, for whining.
Yep.
Yes. And I know that you were probably very upset about that.
You know how I feel about Rhino.
Yes. So always running late and complaining. Maybe Jonathan Knight was my soulmate.
Maybe he was.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe we had too much in common. All right. So, also, Jonathan Knight is concerned about toilets in third world countries, street meat, and sickness.
Street meat's delicious.
Yeah. I don't know why that would be a major concern going on The Amazing Race, but it is. All right. So, what do we think, Jess? Can Harley and Jonathan, could they potentially be our winners? Are you feeling good about them?
I don't see any universe in which the most stunt cast team in Amazing Race history winds up in first place.
Even more than Adam and Bethany?
More than Adam and Bethany.
Wow.
I'm calling it now. I think the closest analogy is the Beekman boys, who were also kind of stunt cast and ended up winning. But that was, you know, that's the team we keep going back to, like, oh, well, if the Beekman boys can win, then anybody can win.
Okay.
So it's not a good act to follow.
Yeah. Will Jonathan Knight's international celebrity, will that have any cachet on The Amazing Race?
I think he's as likely as Bethany to get recognized on the street.
Yeah.
And, you know, he might run into some, like, deranged 35-year-old woman, like, throwing her underwear at him.
Whoa.
And she will be very disappointed.
Will Jonathan have any resentment from the other teams? Will he say that who he is on The Amazing Race?
Someone's going to know who he is. And most of these women are a little too young for him, but I think someone's going to know who he is.
Will it be Jeff and Lita?
That's most likely, I think. Everybody else is just a little bit too young. Like, they were about 5 or 6 years old when the new kids hit.
Now, I feel kind of good about Harley and Jonathan.
Yeah, I like them. I'm going to be really looking forward to what they bring to the table, because my sense is that I think Jonathan has tweeted about how they have asked him a few seasons back. They started asking him if he would be interested in going on the show. So I think he's been preparing for this for a while. I think he has some familiarity with it.
Yes.
But I don't think he's like a diehard fan, but I think every little bit's going to help with this cast.
Yeah. Will this pave the way to see Lance Bass compete on The Amazing Race in a future season?
I would definitely watch that.
Yes. Do you think Lance Bass is mad that Jonathan Knight has beat him to the punch?
I think Lance might have some, you know, residual resentment for The Amazing Race, because one of his exes was a former Amazing Race winner.
Yes, Ryken.
That's right.
Ryken, one of the stars of the film The Scorned.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
And winner of The Amazing Race 4.
Yes, okay. Let's go ahead and grab a question here from you guys. This is from Teddy Blueby, who wants to say, does Jonathan Knight need the money?
Well, it all depends on how well he invested his NKOTB money.
Yeah, what's his lifestyle like?
Yeah, I mean, New York is not a cheap place to live.
It's not a cheap place to live, that's right.
But he strikes me as, of all of the new kids, he strikes me as the least likely to have blown his money on something stupid.
Whoa. Okay.
One of the other reasons I loved him at age 10, he seemed like a fiscally responsible dude.
Okay, we'll have to see how fiscally responsible Harley and Jonathan Knight is. He's not on Celebrity Apprentice. That's usually a tell if they've really squandered all their money.
That's true. Did they get to keep their money from Celebrity? I thought it all had to go to charity.
It does, but I think if you owe... my reading between the tea leaves is that if you owe the IRS a lot of money, I think that then when you like, oh, I made $60,000 for my charity, I think you get to say that's a write-off. I could be wrong about that. Could be wrong about that. All right. So let's move along here. And let's talk about our next. Anything else on Harley and Jonathan?
I think we're good.
Okay. All right. It's Rochelle and Mike, who I think are the front runners to be the fan favorites this season.
My notes say only interesting people in cast.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's talk about Rochelle and Mike.
All right. Now, these guys, they have taken the liberty of inventing their own hashtag.
Oh, good. Where are they?
They are calling themselves the Small Town Sweethearts.
Small Town Sweethearts. Okay. So they don't want to go with the dating couple.
No, they're the only ones that aren't going by the dating couple.
Okay, Small Town Sweethearts. And Mike's parents run a truck stop, right?
All right. Do his parents run it or he manages it?
I mean, they own it.
Oh, and, they own it?
Yeah, I believe that's what his parents own it. And the story that they told was that he was like making burgers and she came in and she's a roller girl.
Yeah, and she actually... We've had roller girls on The Amazing Race before, but she actually looks like one, unlike Beth and Mona, who looked like suburban moms.
Yes, yes. And so this was like a match made in heaven. It was like love at first sight.
Yeah, it was definitely a meet cute.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And so they've been together for 8 months.
That It's not very long in the scheme of things.
Not very long, but look, this is a this could be a working couple.
Yeah, they seem like they're really into each other. They seem like they get along very well. They have a lot in common. I also have in my notes, can we talk about how all the men in the videos are sitting in much lower seats than the women? She looks like she's about a foot taller than he is. And I saw the same thing for Jeff and Lita. They were, either the dudes on this show are really, really short, or they had the women all sitting on boxes.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. We have a lot of tats also for Rochelle. Jess, as a tattoo enthusiast, what do you think of some of Rochelle's ink?
Well, some of it looks like flash, but some of it's very well done.
Well done.
I think she looks great. I think she's got a whole look going on that works very well for her.
Yes. I'm trying to make out what she has on her fingers. I'm thinking about getting like RHAP across my knuckles. I'm trying to figure out what she has. I see.
Robin, if you get that, I'll get that.
Okay, let's do it. So
and we can get like Wiggler and Bloom and a couple other guys to do it too.
Oh yeah, they ever would be up for it.
Like a gang.
Yes, that's what we're going for. I see an S, like an L, an I. Can you make out one?
I can't see it on there.
I don't know what's going on there. It looks like some wild stuff. I've never been to a truck stop. Do you think I would like one?
You know, I've been to one or two in my day.
Yeah.
They're not that interesting, but some of them have pretty good, like if you like really greasy hangover kind of food.
Okay.
That's what truck stops are good for.
I would try that. I bet we have a lot of truckers in the podcast listening. Although I can't say that I've heard from a lot of truckers that listen to the podcast, because I feel like that the truckers would have a hard time watching the shows that we talk about.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be kind of like, I feel like if we were on the real radio, we'd hear from a lot of long haul truckers and we'd hear from a lot of prison inmates. But because we're on the internet only,
yeah,
we don't get either one of those.
Well, if you have smartphones, so I bet truckers listen to a lot of podcasts, but probably not this one. I can't think of too many truckers that I've heard from. But let me know in the comments if you're a trucker and you listen to this podcast.
Yes, long haul truckers, we want to hear from you.
Yes, appreciate that. All right. Let's talk about pet peeves and who they are like. All right. What famous person reminds you of your teammate? They asked Rochelle. Opie from Sons of Anarchy. How about that?
Is that a flattering thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think that I don't know if the opposite is true. I'm not sure if Opie from Sons of Anarchy would be flattered, but I think that's a flattering thing for Mike.
Yeah, but people out in the real world don't even like it when you go up to them and say, hey, you remind me of that one person from The Amazing Race. Like, that never goes over well.
Yeah, so you think that somebody, some future person that says, hey, you remind me of Mike from The Amazing Race, that's the famous person that you remind me of. You don't think that would go over well?
You just get a blank look.
Yes. All right, let's go to pet peeves. What's Rochelle's pet peeve about Mike?
When he is in public, he is in his Mikey Zero persona, which isn't who I signed up to date.
Yeah, no, is Mikey a wrestler? He talks about his personal claims to fame is that he got Mick Foley and Scott Hall to come to his hometown. So is Mikey Zero his persona?
Yeah, he is. It says he is a pro wrestling promoter.
Oh, boy. So he's like a Johnny Fairplay?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, although I don't know, I feel like if you're complaining about his pro wrestling persona, is that something that everybody that John Dalton dates, do they complain about that too? Like, I didn't sign up to date Fairplay. Or
probably on the top 10 list.
Yeah.
Is Mikey Zero, is that anything like Primetime 99?
We can only hope.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. Mikey Zero. Spelled
with an E.
Z, yeah, an extra E there.
On Dan Quayle style.
Yes. All right. What famous person reminds you of your teammate? He says Kesha.
That doesn't feel like a flattering comparison.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see the Kesha resemblance there.
Not really.
Then what's Mike's pet peeve about Rochelle?
That she gets legitimately pissed off if he beats her at anything.
Okay.
So apparently she's going to be kind of type A competitive.
All right. Interesting. Are they playing a lot of checkers?
I don't know what they do in their spare time.
Yes.
It seems like something that people as edgy as them seem to be more into other games.
Yes. They asked him, what country and place would you most like to visit? He said, Tokyo, Japan. Many wrestlers I know travel there for events, and he's heard nothing but amazing things about all of them.
Well, I guess, is he into wrestling? I got the sense that he might be, but I don't think he's talked about it enough.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe at some point that, he could even get to meet last season's wrestlers.
Yeah, well. You have a lot to talk about with them.
You have a lot to talk about. All right, Rochelle and Mike, can they be winners, Jess?
They are the team that I want to win.
Yes.
But I see them going out in like fan favorite fourth place.
Oh, fan favorite fourth place. We like that. It would be a good exit interview.
Yeah, that'll be, I will be excited to hear from them.
Yeah. So Rochelle and Mike, I'm not feeling it. I think they're going to be fun TV, but I don't know if they're going to make it too far on The Amazing Race.
Yeah. I don't see them winning.
Yeah. All right. Jess, let's keep moving. Let's go to, Matt and Ashley. All right. Speaking of good TV, I think that Matt and Ashley are going to, be some good TV. I have never seen a couple pose for their Amazing Race photo in the way that Matt and Ashley are, like, body sort of like face to face, but head turned 90 degrees to the camera.
Yeah, they used to do this a lot in the early seasons, but they would always stand back to back and they would have this like mighty pose. But yeah, this is different. Like, I don't remember a whole lot of people facing each other in their.
Yeah, the pose is almost like it's like the image that we would use if this was going to be like a boxing match between Matt and Ashley.
Yeah, but they need to have their fists up.
Yeah, they have their fists up. Almost they have it. All right, so here's Matt and Ashley from Scarsdale, New York, Westchester, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so what's going on here? They're both hairstylists, they're a dating couple, but they're hairstylists.
He's a straight guy and he's a hairstylist.
Yeah. Yes. Would you go to Matt?
You probably get a lot of chicks that way.
I guess apparently he did.
I don't know. I had a straight guy cut my hair exactly once and it didn't go well.
Did not go well. So if Matt became a fan favorite, and you liked him on The Amazing Race and he said, Jess, come up to Westchester, I'll cut your hair, you would say no?
Well, if it's free, I'm not going to turn down a free haircut.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So, tell us about, Matt and Ashley. What have you discovered about them?
Well, they got together. He dated one of her friends and then she was in a bar and he was hitting on another one of her friends and she totally cock blocked him. And that's how they got together.
Okay. Wow. So did she use herself as the block?
Yeah. She said to her friend, he dated my friend and it didn't go well. You don't want any part of this.
Yes.
And I do not know if she is still friends with this person.
Yeah, but did she block the friend because she was the one that wanted to get with Matt?
The sense I get is that she was trying to warn other people off of him genuinely and not because she wanted him for herself.
But then she fell into the trap.
Yeah, then she fell into the trap that she was diverting other people away from.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Let's talk a little bit more about Matt and Ashley in terms of things about them. All right. What famous person reminds you of your teammate? They asked Matt. Leslie Mann.
Okay.
Okay.
That's better than like the usual ones where they just kind of pick a random female celebrity. that seems like he thought about it.
Yes. And what famous person reminds you of yourself? Kevin Hart.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
That's very interesting. I agree.
I want to see how that plays out.
Yes. I feel like that those are big shoes to fill to say that Kevin Hart is the person that reminds you most of yourself.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if we catch any shades of Kevin Hart in him.
Yes. Pet peeve Matt has. When I ask her something or try to make plans, she doesn't respond or pay attention to me. Sometimes it's like I'm not there. It's a little bit of a wow, 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 I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Get a real pet peeve, Matt.
This guy seems like he might be very focused on being the center of attention.
Yes. All right. They asked Ashley for who is the person that reminds you the most of your teammate. Kai Green. I admire Matt's decision to whatever endeavor he takes on, as well as his artistry and passion for life, like Kai Green.
Yes. Kai Green is a fitness celebrity.
Ah, that's why I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was either. I just Googled him just now, and apparently he has like 3 million likes on Facebook.
There you go.
And 149,000 Twitter followers, so he is apparently known to many, and he's very vascular. He has many veins in his pecs.
Yes. Okay, well, vascular is a good way to be.
I guess so.
Yes. All right, pet peeve that Ashley has about Matt. Poor listening skills and how he will deny something that's a definite fact and laugh about it. It drives me crazy.
Well, these are complimentary pet peeves here.
Yes. So
apparently, maybe she is trying to get his attention and he's ignoring her.
No. Is that the case?
I wonder if Matt needs to have his hearing checked.
Yes.
You know, hearing loss is a very real problem, Matt. And there's no shame in having that checked out.
Yeah. Jess, is it better for a hairstylist to be a good listener or a good conversationalist?
I think hairstylists have to be good listeners.
Yeah, it's like a bartender.
I hate it when I'm not in a chatty mood and I go and get my hair cut and the hairstylist won't shut up. Like, I've actually started going to this place where the hairstylists don't really speak English.
Oh.
They don't really talk to me. I futz around with my phone while they cut my hair. It's all good.
Yeah. I Googled Kai Green after some people in the chat room were talking about what he looked like. And yeah, I'm glad I did.
Yeah, he is one vascular mofo.
Yes. Yes.
And I kind of wish he was on The Amazing Race now.
Yes. Kai, boy.
He looks like the Hulk. Doesn't he look like the Hulk?
Yeah, he does. I'm not sure that... Yeah, I don't know what to say about Kai Green.
He doesn't really look like Matt.
He doesn't look like Matt. And yeah, I feel like that he's has a very enhanced physique.
He certainly does. That is a physique that he has given many hours of thought to.
Yes, it looks not unlike the picture of young Tony that Spencer had in the Mr. Survivor debate.
That is a fair point.
Yes. Okay. Let's... Let's go ahead and talk some more about Matt and Ashley, about their chances on the race. What do you think?
This is going to be the team that yells at each other all the time.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to them being on the show. And nothing is worse than an Amazing Race season where the yelling couple goes out really early.
Yeah, but I feel like we're going to have a couple yelling couples this season.
Yeah. And we need, are we going to have hashtag the yelling couple?
The yelling couple? The yelling dating couple.
Is it going to apply to everybody?
Yes, I hope so. Yeah, I'm not feeling Matt and Ashley as winners, but I think they'll be good TV.
Yeah, I want them to go pretty far.
Okay. All right, so we'll say, keeping our fingers crossed for Matt and Ashley, I think that they're probably the most interesting of the... I guess probably Rochelle and Mike are probably the most interesting.
Yeah.
These are the most explosive, I would say, of the existing couples.
These are going to be the most emotional. I feel like Rochelle and Mikey... are going to be more laid back than these guys.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. And before we get to our first of our blind date couples, five blind date couples, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. A new sponsor, Jess. This is something that we've never done before. I want to tell you about another show that's going to be on TV, American Crime, coming to ABC. The series premiere is March 5th at 10 p.m. 9 central on ABC. The show deals with trying to relate to if somebody in your family was murdered, if your daughter was arrested, if your child was framed, where does the truth lie? Well, one crime will affect many lives in the television event of the year. Jess, are you ready?
I'm so excited for this. This sounds awesome.
Yes, coming to ABC primetime. Film critic and radio personality Elvis Mitchell, who I was also compared to a young Elvis Mitchell in my youth, Jess, host of the American Crime podcast, is taking a look at the in-depth, groundbreaking new television series American Crime, premiering March 5th on ABC. Each week, the American Crime podcast. So American Crime is premiering on ABC. And then there's also an American Crime podcast talking about the show American Crime. Each week, the podcast will feature a candid conversation with show creator and executive producer John Ridley, the Oscar-winning screenwriter of 12 Years a Slave, along with the show's talent discussing the latest episodes, characters, storylines, and other timely topics. Go to podcastone.com/American Crime to subscribe now. So how about that, Jess? American Crime, the show, is launching, and they're launching a podcast companion series on Podcast One right there to follow along on American Crime.
Well, you know, anything that brings more podcast tie-ins to television programs, you know, I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah, I think that Serial is bringing more attention to podcasts, and they're starting podcasts right when shows start. Boom. Podcastone.com/American Crime. All right, let's talk about our newly made couple. It's Bergen and Kurt.
Kurgan. Kurgan or Bert. What's our portmanteau?
We're doing celebrity couple names. I like Kurgan.
Yeah, I like Kurgan too. I'm going to call them Kurgan.
Yeah, because I feel like
I'm going to call the previous couple Mashley.
Oh, yes. Very good. I feel like the Swedish chef, if we can say Kurgan. Bergen, Kurt, Kurgan, Bergen. Okay.
Yeah.
Kurgan, let's talk about them. The blind date couple. And first off, tell us a little bit about what do we know about Bergen?
Well, Bergen, he lives in California and he's originally from Minnesota.
Yeah.
He's pretty, seems really laid back. He's very low key. He says he's been cheated on in every relationship that he's been in.
Why would anybody cheat on Bergen?
I don't know. He's adorable.
Seems like a catch.
He's got wonderful hair. And I like that that place he most wants to visit is Bergen, Norway.
Yes.
And he can get a picture of himself standing under the sign.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Doesn't want anybody who smokes, anybody that does drugs, or has poor personal hygiene, or a tendency to cheat.
Yeah, well, he's been burned before.
Yes.
I can understand the impulse.
Okay.
And he's very into tall guys. And Kurt is 6'3", so he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Okay. All right. And tell us about Kurt.
Kurt is a pageant consultant. And he's got really good energy. He's very positive. He's never been in a relationship before. And he's looking for Mr. Right.
So he hasn't cheated.
He hasn't cheated. He's very funny. I got a kick out of his video in which he says that he has the testosterone of a man and the wrath of a woman.
That was a good line.
That was a pretty good line. I expect a lot more good lines out of this guy.
Yeah. Was it Bergen that said he was really into the tall guys, or was
they both said they were.
Yeah.
And Kurt identified himself as being 6'3", and he would love to have a guy taller than he is.
Yes.
And his quote is, he can't be in the 5 zone.
Yeah, he didn't want a guy in the 5 zone. He had to have a guy in the 6 zone.
Yeah.
So
I feel him on that.
Okay, so you can't deal with a guy who's in the 5 zone. You need a guy who's at least in the 6 zone.
Yeah, that is correct. So we are of one mind on that.
Okay, we'll quote you on that, Jess. No guys in the 5 zone for Jess.
That's correct.
Okay. That's right. I hear that's a common thought among people.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So do we think this couple will work? Are we feeling Kurgan?
They seem like I think they could be very good friends.
Yes.
But I feel like this is kind of one of those situations where it's like, I have a gay friend and I have another gay friend. They're both gay. They have so much in common. They're going to fall in love. I think, I don't know. I don't see them having enough in common to really sustain a romantic relationship, but I think they'll get along very well as people.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't see the chemistry working there. I don't think this is going to be a match.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a blast. I think it's going to be a really fun... Yeah. I think it's going to be a really fun pairing to watch on the show, but I think it's going to be more akin to those teams that we get that are called friends.
Yes, but you think that they'll become friends?
I think they will be very good friends.
Yeah.
I don't see them making the love connection.
Yes, no love connection. Yeah, that's good. You know, that's one of the underrated things, I think, about going on, being gay and going on dates. That it's just like, no, this doesn't work, but you'd be a great friend.
Yeah, and you probably know a lot of other gay people you can set each other up with.
Yeah, yeah, it's like this isn't, but I feel like that you don't see that a lot in that. I feel like that would happen much less among straight dates, right?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to happen as much. No.
Yeah, it's like, this didn't work. I'll just never call you. I'll just never talk to you ever again and avoid you if I ever see you anywhere. It's the not like, hey, like this didn't work romantically, but let's just, let's keep the lines of communication open. Let's maybe, hang out other times as friends and introduce each other to people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Facebook friends with a couple of people I went out with once 10 years ago, but.
Yes. All right. So that'll be very interesting. The deal breakers for Kurt are controlling and lazy. I want somebody that's loving and a hard worker.
But controlling and lazy don't feel like they go together.
Yes. Yes. Interesting. So let's see. Celebrity crush for Kurt is Bradley Cooper.
All right.
Join the club.
Yeah, I mean, Bradley Cooper's a good-looking man.
Yes, so Betty White has told me. Celebrity crush for Bergen is Channing Tatum, Tom Daly, and Zac Efron. Also, he says he might be gay, but Jennifer Aniston's on the list, too.
Well, he could be 80-20.
Yeah, oh, like on King of the Nerds.
Exactly.
All right, what about in terms of Amazing Race? Forget about love. Could Kurgan win the Amazing Race?
Kurgan is not well-traveled. I think this is going to be a liability for them.
Yes.
And I think I could see them both being more about the experience than the race. I don't see them being like super type A about needing to win every leg. And I think they could get in trouble.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I think that these two are may not like. I'm not feeling the friends thing as much. I think that these two could be a little bit like annoyed with each other.
Yeah, well, that would make excellent television.
Yes, so. It would. They asked, "Well, who? What famous person reminds you of yourself?" Bergen says a mix between the following: Ellen, Oprah, and Melissa McCarthy. Just wait until you meet me, and the answer will explain itself. That sounds a little bit like a big head. Ellen, Oprah, and Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, those are three titans of entertainment. I'm going to expect a lot out of this guy if that's, you know, that's who he thinks that he reminds people of.
Yes.
Although I liked Kurt's answer.
Yes, Kurt's answer. This has to be a first. What famous person reminds you of yourself? Carol Channing.
That's a wonderful answer, and I kind of love this guy.
Okay. Is that the first 24-year-old in 50 years to identify themselves with Carol Channing?
Hopefully not the last.
Hopefully not the last. All right. Let's keep moving. All right. So here's Kurgan. Now, it's Blair and Haley. What do you want to go here?
Blaley.
Blaley?
Yes.
What about hair?
Well, hair would confuse us because there's a team that's also hairdressers. So we got to go with Blaley on this.
Blaley. Okay, let's talk about Blair and Haley.
Yeah, on paper, I think this is the team that I would put the best odds of the two of them actually hitting it off.
Okay. Yes.
They both seem to have similar personalities. They're very active people. They live in the same part of the country. They work similar jobs. They have a lot going for them.
Okay. All right, good, good. We think that Blair will be happy when he sees Haley.
Well, she is a good-looking girl, and she's so chipper and positive. One thing my impression of Haley was that she was doing a lot of talking and not really making a point. She would say, you know, in her ideal relationship, we should have a lot of common goals, and we should always be working together, but we should also have our own goals. And it's like everything was equivocating, and I don't know, that may not serve her well on a show where you have to make a lot of snap decisions.
Okay. What famous person reminds you of yourself? Taylor Swift. Hey, how about that?
All right. I can see it.
Who's your celebrity crush? Justin Timberlake.
Well, I think she will be happy with her blind date then.
Yes. Why, you think he's Timberlake-y?
He's slightly Timberlake-ian.
Ooh. Okay.
But with more of a, like, kind of a little hipster nerdy edge. And, you know, I have in my notes, he is adorkable.
Yes. Well, he doesn't describe himself as adorkable. What famous person reminds you of yourself? He says, if Ryan Gosling had a miracle baby with Brad Pitt and the child was tutored by Stephen Hawking, mentored by the late Maya Angelou, and trained by Bruce Jenner in his prime, I would be that person.
No, that is an adorkable answer.
Yes, you liked it?
That's one of the funniest. I think that might be tied with Carol Channing for funniest answer.
Yeah. Trained by Bruce Jenner in his prime.
Yeah, well, Bruce Jenner was a titan.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want that. Bruce Jenner is too much controversy with Bruce Jenner right now. And I'm not even talking about anything with his gender with texting and driving, maybe.
No, but Bruce Jenner in the 70s,
yes,
was like the hottest athlete around. And he, you know, he won gold medals or something. I don't know. I wasn't alive.
Bruce Jenner wasn't winning bronze medals, baby.
Nope.
Yes.
You know, you had to win gold medals if you wanted to date him.
Yes. Okay. Celebrity crush, Lionel Messi's significant other, Antonella Roccuzzo?
Roccuzzo. Yeah, I do not know what this woman looked like, but I bet she's really hot because Lionel Messi is, he's a famous dude.
Yes. Okay. Ken Blaley.
I'm Google imaging. She's more cute than hot.
Oh, more cute than hot. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. What do we make of Kai Greene? Is Kai Greene cute or hot?
No.
No? Just no?
Is he cute or hot? No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So, Jess, tell us, could they do something here?
I think Blaley is going to go far.
Go far?
Yeah, and this is also because, you know how I usually choose my pick to win the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I pick the least interesting team.
Yes.
And I pick them to win, and I'm frequently correct.
So you think a blind date team could win this season?
I think a blind date team, because it can go either way. We've had two teams that are close-ish to blind date teams in the history of The Amazing Race. We had Mark and Mallory, who didn't know each other very well, and who imploded very quickly because they were two different people that didn't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you have Eric and Danielle, who dated for a hot minute after their season and then pretended to be together for Amazing Race All-Stars. And they did extraordinarily well. And part of the reason they did so well was because they didn't have a lot of baggage with one another. Their only experience with each other was on The Amazing Race.
Hmm.
So I think a blind date couple who is in that mindset, who's very focused and who is dedicated to winning and who is so boring that they don't get caught up in each other.
Yeah.
I think they have a good shot at winning.
All right. We'll see. Jess is liking Blaley.
I am liking Blaley's chances, and I think they're very cute together.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. I'm not going to hate on Blaley. I think they could be contenders. So far we've talked about two blind date teams. You think they're both going to be able to work together?
Yeah, I think so. Coming up, we have some teams that I think are going to have a tougher time.
All right, let's go to our next blind date couple. It's Jackie and Jeffrey. What do you want to call them?
Jeffkey?
Okay.
Or Jackery.
Jackery. I like Jeffkey.
All right, Jeffkey.
Yes.
Jeffkey it is.
Okay, Jeffkey it is. Jackie is one of the reality TV favorite tropes, the Vegas showgirl.
Yeah, and Vegas showgirls, I don't know, that's not, they don't have a great track record on CBS reality.
Yes, but they really like to go and bring them in.
Yeah. That, well,
it opens a lot of doors at CBS, Vegas showgirl.
It's an interesting job. I think it's a more interesting job than like pro sports cheerleader, which she also has on her resume.
Yeah. It's an interesting job in that it's like, but what do you do? Like, yeah. but do people go see shows with showgirls in them?
I don't
like,
even
it's
know.
It's not a stripper, right?
No, some of them. I got to be honest with you, Rob. Every single thing I know about Las Vegas showgirls comes from having seen the movie Showgirls.
Yes, that's different, I think. Like, yeah, I feel like the Vegas showgirl is sort of like at like these like hotels and is just sort of like just standing there with like a hat with like feathers on. It's like, whoa. Well, and like tourists are like, hey, can I take my picture with you?
There certainly are those showgirls, but I think there are shows. I've never been to one. I don't know where you go to see them, but they're still a thing. And but it does take some strength and stamina to get through that because those are big ass costumes.
Yeah. But I don't know what, like, you go to the, like the Tropicana or whatever, and then you see a show with the showgirls. I don't really know what, like what goes on there.
Yeah. This is not an A-list strip hotel show that you go to. Like, you're not going to see them. You're not going to go to like Mandalay Bay and see showgirls. There's definitely like an Excalibur Tropicana kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about, okay, so there's Jackie and then there's Jeffrey. All right. So Jackie is the showgirl. What do we know about Jeffrey?
He has a really boring job.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't get a great read on Jeffrey, to be honest. He seems like an okay dude. But, you know, I don't, he's just kind of there.
Yeah,
like they're going to be this team that I'm going to keep forgetting is there. And you'll say, Jess, there are five teams left in the race. Who do you think is going to do well? I'm going to name like the first four teams and I'll be like, who else is still there? Oh, right. Jack.
Yeah. They asked Jeffrey, what do you do? He says, I work with C-level executives and sell a wide array of services, products that meet their company needs. What are C-level executives?
That's not like a C-list celebrity, is it?
Yeah. Is it like that he meets with like David Spade?
David Spade is like the platonic ideal of C-list. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's that guy that calls up your office and tries to sell you toner.
Yeah. Is that what the C stands for?
Yeah.
Copier level executives.
Yeah, cold call level executives, like people whose numbers you can get access to.
Yeah, like, that seems like very insulting to the people. Like if you're like telling people like, hey, oh, some guy I know from work is going to be an amazing race. And you read his bio. And he's like, I work with C-level executives. Like, hey.
Yeah, that guy sold me toner.
Yeah, I'm buying my toner from somebody else now.
Yeah. Oh, I like John Johnston's comment in the chat room. He's definitely on the white collar tribe.
Yes, he's on the white collar tribe. So, Jess, how did they find the people that went on The Amazing Race as the singles? Were these people that like tried out for Survivor and like, yeah, you're not right for Survivor, but would you go on The Amazing Race with a complete stranger?
They could be the people that were like too boring for Big Brother.
The people that were too boring for Big Brother and they put them on The Amazing Race?
Yeah, that's a possibility. I think, well, you know that for a very long time, they've pulled from the same casting pool for all three shows. That's how you wound up on Survivor.
Yes, that is true. I remember what happened.
Yeah, I don't need to tell you how you
don't need to tell
Survivor.
Me. Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of these people probably applied for one either Survivor or Big Brother, and I think some of them were approached. Like I believe one of Kurgan said, I agreed to go on The Amazing Race because, and I'm like, no, dude, don't say that. Say I'm excited to go on The Amazing Race because I freaking love the show. Don't say someone approached me and I did them a favor by going on, you know.
What famous person reminds you of yourself? They asked Jeffrey. Probably Bradley Cooper. Although
everybody either has a crush on him or thinks they look like him.
Yes. And also he says, although I've gotten that I look like Tim Tebow a few times. How about that? A Tim Tebow sighting.
Yeah, that seems like, yeah, he does sort of look like
Tebow time for Jeffrey.
Yep. Take a knee.
All right. What famous person reminds you of yourself? Nicole Scherzinger and Kim Kardashian. How about that?
Oh, bad answer.
Yes.
Bad answer. Nobody wants to be like Kim Kardashian.
Self-identifies with Kim Kardashian.
Oh,
for Jackie.
Oh, no, bad.
Yeah. What top three qualities are you looking for in a mate? I'm looking for a respectful gentleman who is passionate, motivated, confident, with a good sense of humor.
That's five things.
Also, being attractive with a great body doesn't hurt either. Hey-o.
That's seven things.
Yes.
She asked for her top three and she gave them seven.
Yes.
Reading comprehension is something I'm looking for in an amazing race team to cheer for.
Yes, but not from somebody who self-identifies with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to overcome. She could be very nice and charming and I could really like them. They could be a team that screams at each other all the time and I really like that.
Yes.
Or they could really, I don't see the two of them hitting it off romantically. I really don't see it.
Yes.
I think he is a little too boring for her and she's a little too high maintenance for him.
Yeah, I think that she's a little too exciting and he's a little too boring.
Yeah. And I mean sometimes that works well, but I think that's not one of those yin yang qualities.
Yes. I make it work in my relationship of being very exciting and my wife is boring. But not everybody can do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're making it work for you, Rob, because I think if that gets back to her, it might not be working out for that much longer.
All right. All right, Jackie and Jeffrey should provide some fireworks, I would think.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping, like, maybe she'll yell at him and he'll just, like, sit there and take it.
Yeah, it'll be good. I think it'll be good either way. I think these two are going to fight, and it's either going to be, you know, he's going to want her to do something and she's not going to be good at it, or she's going to want him to do something and he's not going to be good at it, and I see there being some fighting.
Yeah, although I did, like, she seemed genuinely excited to be on the show and doing things. So she's got the right attitude going in and maybe they will surprise us.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving in the right direction from Vegas to the amazing races. Vegas.
Yeah, amazing races to something totally different.
All right. Oh, it's Jelani and Jenny.
All right.
Am I pronouncing it right? Is it Jelani?
Yeah, I think so.
It's not like a Halani, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That's a hard J.
Jelani and Jenny. All right. Blind date. Here we go. Sports agent, Jelani.
Yep. And I love Jenny's description of what she does because she's taking something so meaningless and injecting so much meaning into it.
Okay. What does she do?
She creates content via her blog and other media platforms to work with fashion and beauty companies on digital collaboration and campaigns. And she's also a lawyer because nobody makes a living on that first part.
Yeah. So you feel like that's the kind of thing that she has to really like put some garnish around that first part.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's a passion. You can also tell she's passionate about it.
Yes.
And Jelani has two things going on as well.
Yes. He currently has an equity interest in an internet startup where he negotiates deals with Fortune 500 companies. I'm also a sports agent.
Okay, see, that's again, weirdly enough, that's the exact same answer they both gave. Like, they pumped a lot of importance into something that they're not currently making money at, and then told us what they really do.
Wow. Who's your celebrity crush for Jelani? How about this? Emilia Clarke, and he refers to her as Khaleesi from Game of Thrones.
Her name is Daenerys, damn it.
Yes, yes.
He doesn't watch the show.
Yes. No, I'll give him credit. That would be like referring to your celebrity crush as Joffrey, but just calling him King, correct?
Yes.
That's exactly
what that would be.
What famous person reminds you of yourself? I get Taye Diggs a lot, do you?
Well, okay. Yes. I guess I can sort of see it.
All right.
And it's a flattering comparison. So
yes, very flattering comparison.
If I was a dude and someone compared me to Taye Diggs, I'd be like, thank you.
Yes. Yes. I'm only like Taye Diggs and I follow everybody on Twitter. That's the comparison.
He never followed me on Twitter. It made me very sad.
Yes. Now let's talk about Jenny. In addition to being a blogger and a lawyer, that she says she's looking for excellent banter skills, a quick wit, and a striking resemblance to Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, unfortunately, Jelani does not look like Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, that's going to be a... No.
Yep, that's a big old no.
We were looking for Taye Diggs. Taye Diggs.
Yep. That's not a match. Circle does not get square.
Yes. So, what famous person reminds you of yourself? Norma Jean Baker.
Okay, this is such a pretentious and stupid answer.
Yes.
Okay, say Marilyn Monroe if you mean Marilyn Monroe.
Yep. Okay, that's fair. I'm gonna say
unless there's like some famous person named Norma Jean Baker who like took that from Marilyn Monroe
different.
And is like posturing with it. I don't know. That's a stupid answer too, because there's no famous person named that.
Is Norma Jean Baker like Dread Pirate Roberts?
That's interesting.
Is there a new
new Norma Jean Baker every few years?
Well, I think it was
the old one retires.
Anna Nicole Smith, and maybe there's a new one after that.
Maybe.
All right. Do we think that these two can work as a match? Could this be a romance?
So are you saying Jelani a love connection?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think these people will hate each other.
You think they'll hate each other?
I think they're going to hate each other.
Well, she lives on the West Coast. He lives in New York. So it's already a bi-coastal thing.
Right.
Hmm.
They don't have a whole lot in common. And they both seem like, I think they communicate badly in the same ways. And I think that's going to come back to bite them.
Yeah.
And his dream vacation spot is Antarctica. And hers is Turks and Caicos. That's two totally different things.
Yeah.
And he is on the rebound.
Uh-oh. On the rebound, looking for basketball players to represent?
Well, she's not the one that said that she reminds everybody of Kim Kardashian.
Yes, that's good. So, will they be good TV, though?
I think they'll be wonderful TV. I can't wait.
Okay. Well, that'll be good. Do they have a chance to work together on the race?
I think I could see them both being very driven. They might be one of those teams where they just kind of ignore each other and like push as hard as they can. And in some cases, teams that do that go really far.
Yeah.
So if they can just manage to both be so competitive that it doesn't matter what they think of each other.
Yes.
That could work for them.
Okay. So you say thumbs up on Jelani?
Yes.
Jelani?
Thumbs up Jelani.
Okay.
They're a couple portmanteau.
Okay. There you go.
Thumbs up.
I feel like though they couldn't get on the same page. Like our other dating couples, I feel like that some of them tried to get on the same page with color. So they match the neon green, fluorescent green for Kurgan. Then,
Blaylee's got the
powder blue.
Blue.
Yes.
Yes.
Then Jackie and Jeffrey, that's not a match. I don't know what happened here.
They're kind of earth tonesy. They coordinate. They don't really match, but they might coordinate.
Yeah. And then Jelani could not get on the same shade of blue.
No, that's a taboo buzzer right there.
Yeah, that is no. He's got sort of like a, would you say that's like a royal blue? What would you call that?
Yeah, that is a royal blue.
A royal blue, and she's got sort of like a teal?
Like teal, yeah.
Teal.
Teal.
Not good. Not good. All right, our last couple here, it's Tyler and Laura.
Lorler, Tyla.
Yes.
They don't have a good portmanteau and I don't like them already.
Yes. Yes. So sorry about that. For Tyra. Tyra?
Tyra. Okay. Tyra.
Tyra. There we go.
All right. I like them again.
We like them. They're back. All right. So it's Tyler and Laura.
All right. These guys also not on the same page at all.
Okay. Let's get into it. Let's get into right. Tyler and Laura. Not on the same page color wise either.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I don't think that kind of fuchsia color, that's not really going to bring out Tyler's best features.
Yeah.
So it's better.
Yeah. So the people that had matched the same color, was that just a coincidence?
I think from what I understand, when you're a team and you go on the show, the Amazing Race tells you, well, we suggest that you wear this color and they can either wear it or not. Like Brooke and Claire said that they were assigned a color and they were really excited when their color was pink.
Yeah.
So I think you can if you are given a color and you hate it, you can choose to jettison it.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's possible that they were told fuchsia and Tyler's like, no.
All right. So let's talk about Tyler first. He's the co-founder of Horse.
All right.
Yes.
So he shoots basketballs from different places on the court.
Yes. He is part of it. He's part of a team that develops mobile apps focused on turning social interactions into fun and competitive games.
All right. I wonder if they have a horse mask in the office.
Oh, like a horse head?
Yeah. You know, those horse head masks. Those are pretty cool looking. If he owns one of those, his stock goes up.
Maybe. Could we have sort of like a Minotaur person on The Amazing Race? That would be fun.
And a first centaur team. Oh, yeah.
What's a Minotaur?
Minotaur is a bull that lives in a labyrinth.
Oh, okay. My bad. That would be equally cool. What if there was a blind date between a Minotaur and a centaur?
What would their children even look like?
I don't know.
You know, one third man, one third horse, one third bull.
Yes. All right. Let's get into, so Tyler, he has a company. He is a deal breaker. His negative pessimistic attitude is automatic deal breaker.
That's, I like that he wants to be positive about things, but he seems like he's very judgmental in this, like, life is too short, enjoy it. Like, don't tell me how to feel, buddy.
Yeah, well, then this could be a deal breaker.
Yeah, I don't think Tyler and I would be simpatico.
Okay. What famous person reminds you of yourself? Rob Drydick.
Is he a sports
Dyrdek.
Guy?
Dyrdek? Rob Dyrdek?
I'm Googling this. He is a skateboarder.
Oh, yeah. Of
he
course.
Wears like, in every picture on the Google image search, he's wearing like one of those douchey hats with the really flat brim.
Yeah, okay. Well, that is not the what you want to go for what famous person reminds you of yourself.
Yeah, no, and he's very smug looking. Am I given to understand that Tyler is also going to be kind of smug?
Yeah. What celebrity crush do you have? Taylor Swift.
Okay, well, that bodes well, because Laura's kind of Taylor Swift-esque.
All right, well, let's talk about Laura. She's a talent booker. She books talent for a daily television morning show.
Yeah, that's an impressive job. I think she's got it together. She's a little bit self-deprecating, which, you know, some people don't go for that. I personally find it very attractive in a person.
Whoa.
I like that the thing that she's most proud of is that she doesn't snooze through her alarm clock on Monday mornings for her big girl job. I think that's adorable.
Yes. Okay. So do you think that she would have been better off with who was it earlier on? Blair. Would she have been a better match with Blair?
Maybe, but I don't know. I like the blending of Blaylee better.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
And every single person this season says their celebrity crush is Channing Tatum.
Yeah, boy, it's a good year for Channing Tatum.
Yes. Channing Tatum's stock is up because of that Jupiter Ascending movie.
Is that it? I thought it was Magic Mike 2.
Magic Mike XXL?
XXL, sorry. Celebrity crush, Channing Tatum, Eric Decker, and Justin Timberlake. Is this the first time a New York Jet has been mentioned as a celebrity crush? Although Tim Tebow, a former New York Jet, was mentioned in the Amazing Race bios.
Nobody has a crush on Tim Tebow.
People have crush on Tim Tebow.
Yeah, nobody on the Amazing Race.
Not yet. Probably never.
Probably never.
I think that ship has sailed. What famous person reminds you of yourself? A mix between Cameron Diaz and Kelly Ripa.
Okay, I could definitely see it. She's really bubbly. She's really upbeat. And I think that might grate on Tyler.
Why? He wants upbeat.
He wants upbeat. He thinks he wants upbeat.
I think there's a
line in the sand.
Yeah. I like upbeat. Upbeat is big.
Yeah. She's very charming.
Yes. Yes.
But the thing that stuck out to me is that her biggest fear in her video, she said she's worried she's going to get bossy, and I don't see Tyler doing well with bossy. And in fact, there's about 5-second clip in the Meet the Cast video where they're shown yelling at each other pretty hard.
Okay. That's tough.
Yeah.
That could be a deal breaker.
Okay.
So what are you thinking? Thumbs down on Tyler and Laura?
Yeah, I'm not feeling Tyler and Laura, okay. Unfortunately. But they might be one of those teams that charm us with the way they hate each other, and we want to keep seeing them because we enjoy watching them implode.
I'll tell you what, Jess, we could have some good exit interviews this season.
Oh, man, what if they won't even get on a call together?
Oh, I would be happy. I would be happier if they didn't get on the call together, because if they are on the call separate, they'll be more likely to talk smack, which is really fun for the exit interviews.
Yeah, but you've never had a team like dissolve into yelling at each other in the middle of their exit interview. That could be a historic first.
Yes. I mean, Tyler, could you tell me what it was like when you went through the task and Laura was telling you what to do? Like, Rob, here we go again. Like, oh, what do you mean?
Yeah, what's your problem?
Yes. Laura, is that true? Is that true what Tyler said?
No, it's not true. I can't believe he said that.
Yeah, Tyler, are you going to take that? Are you going to take that right now on this call?
This conversation's over. Click.
Yeah. And all right, Rob, your time is up. We're going to move on to the next call. Like, oh, come on. We're just getting into the good stuff.
Indeed.
Yeah. So that would be good.
I liked very much. Laura has some very good deal breakers in her relationship. She basically flips the Boy Scout oath on its head.
Oh, yes.
Unmotivated, emotionally inept, selfish, untrustworthy, and cheap.
A lot of deal breakers.
That's a lot of deal breakers.
Yeah. All right. Jess, those are our 11 teams that are going to be competing on Blind Date Amazing Race.
Yes, they are.
Yes.
That is all 11 teams.
That is 11 teams. Very, very exciting. All right, Jess, do you have a pick for the winner of the Amazing Race?
I've had my want to win pick, and I've had my think is going to win pick.
Okay.
So my want to win pick, I'm going to be rooting for Mikey and Rochelle.
Yes.
And I wrote this down well before he tweeted at us in the middle of the podcast saying he was having a good time listening.
Uh-oh. Who is it?
Sucking kneecaps never hurts.
Yes.
And my pick to the team that I think is going to win, I'm going with Team Blaylee.
Blaylee! There you go.
So now I got to get yours, Rob.
Okay. Well, who am I rooting for to win?
Yes, who are you rooting for and who do you think is going to win?
Okay, I will root for... I'll root for Mashley.
All right.
Root for Mashley. It's a tough call between Mashley and Michelle. But I would say that I'm going to go for... I know you don't think they're going to do good. I'm going to go with Harley and Jonathan.
All right.
Because okay. I think that there's always with these male teams, they have an advantage in strength. But then sometimes you get a challenge where it's like, you know, the Mark and Bopper thing where it's like, all right, the teams will have to learn a dance and then, be able to memorize it or sing. And a lot of those tasks where it's like involves choreography. I think Jonathan's got that.
Are you saying that you think he has the right stuff?
Yes. Yes, I think so. So I feel like they're strong. Oh. And I feel like the things that might be, you say, okay, male team, they're going to struggle when they have a blah, blah, blah challenge. Because there's always a challenge where you have to learn some sort of choreographed thing. I feel like they won't get slipped up with that.
No, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
They've got this, the one strength that those teams usually lack.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Jess, 1 week from tonight, we will be almost exactly in 1 week from tonight in 12 minutes, we will be kicking off the Amazing Race Blind Date.
I can't believe it. It really snuck up on us. I was blind to it.
Yes, it was a blind setup for us. We will be attached at the hip with these teams and we will have no choice but to just move on forward because it's a blind date and it's happening on Wednesday night, February 25th, right after the 90-minute premiere of Survivor Worlds Apart.
That's going to be one action-packed evening.
It surely will. All right, let's take a couple of quick questions, and then we got to wrap this up tonight. All right, let's start off with Zachary Zarnett Klein wants to say, which Amazing Race relationship archetype will you miss the most this season? I'm always a sucker for the old married couple. Well, we have an older dating couple.
Yeah, we have the old dating couple. I do love the old married couple. I don't feel like there's a real team of fish out of water. And I love the teams that, like, we've had a couple people that say they've never traveled, but nobody is so, like, regional.
What about Rochelle and Mike?
Yeah, I guess so. They're small towners. They seem a little more worldly.
Yeah. World wrestling entertainment.
Yeah.
Which team will be emailing their exit interview this season? Oh, that's a good question. Which team will snub me and not give me my Amazing Race exit interview?
Well, I was probably unfairly mean to Tyler and Laura, but
Tyra.
I like them.
They'll do the exit interview. They might email it because they don't want to be on the call with each other.
Yes.
That could be good. And then they'll really talk smack about each other in the email. Who else? Who else will email?
Yeah, well, who have we potentially pissed off so far?
I don't know. I don't think we pissed off anybody. I think we're fair.
No. I think we've been tough but fair on these teams. I could definitely see the fan base of Jonathan Knight getting upset if I don't constantly assure them that he's doing a wonderful job.
That's a thing. That's a thing, yeah. Jess.
You know, sort of well-known musician goes on the show, mm-hmm. and I am critical, and all of a sudden I am public enemy number one. But let me assure you, he's my favorite new kid.
Yes.
I can't be more loving than that, can I?
I don't think you can.
Please don't send me death threats, because I've officially proclaimed my love for Jonathan.
Yeah, but you didn't pick him as your winner.
I didn't pick him as my winner. I did not. I didn't think that. Like I said, I thought they'd do okay. I didn't say they would do wonderfully.
And you said you like Jonathan the best, but you didn't say you like Harley the best.
Harley is my favorite instructor at Barry's Boot Camp.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
And also, I did say I liked Debbie Gibson more than either one of them.
Oh, my God. Okay. You know you want it. Okay. This is from Mr. Air Sonic, who says, what would you do if this season wasn't only all couples, it was celebrity couples? Oh, wow. Celebrity couples, Jess. What would you do then? Are they blind date celebrity couples?
Okay, blind date celebrity couples is genius.
Yes.
That is utter genius.
Yes. That would be very exciting.
Yeah, but regular celebrity couples, not so much.
Boy, how bad would things have to get for a celebrity to go on blind date celebrity Amazing
Race? Could one of the blind daters, what's Roger Lodge doing? Can we have him be one of the blind
daters? Yes, that'd be very ironic. The shoe is on the other foot now, Lodge. Okay, let's go to Alex G. Will this upcoming season of Amazing Race be better or worse than the All-Stars? No, Jess, you've said this. It can't be worse, right?
It can't be worse.
Yes. All right. Let's do one last question here. From Kelsey X, Kelsey says, it would be funny if one partner from one team falls for another partner on the other team. Yeah, what would that happen if there was like some sort of love triangle?
That's the biggest hope for me, because I think cross-team romances, we haven't had one in a really long time.
Cross-team romances, and you could...
That's our hashtag, Rob, by the way.
Hashtag cross-team romances. Yeah, it's like, what happens if, you know, you have a team like Blair and Haley, you have Blaley, but all of a sudden, Haley falls for Jelani or Tyler.
Yeah, that could happen.
Uh-oh.
That'd be pretty amazing.
Uh-oh.
Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming. And now, all of a sudden, Blair is pissed.
The new portmanteau to beat is Jalali.
Jalali. Yeah. All right. So what are we called? Cross-team romances is the hashtag?
That is our hashtag. Cross-team romances.
All right. Well, Jess, you've done an outstanding job.
As have you, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Lots of fun. Thanks everybody who joined us live. Thanks everybody also that made it all the way through on the podcast version. So Jess, I know you recently blogged about the season, right?
I did. I looked at some of the newer twists and how they could be improved to make for a better Amazing Race experience.
Okay. What was the biggest thing you came up with?
I really, if we're getting the save again, I really want the save to be, I want there to be an additional challenge that you can kind of chip away at over the course of a leg, where you don't necessarily know how the other teams are doing or if they're going after it. I like that from like a game theory nerd standpoint.
Okay. All right. Well, check out Jess's blogs on robhaswebsite.com. She's going to blog all season about the Amazing Race and much, much more. She's at Haymaker Hattie on Twitter. You can also send her your questions after the premiere on Wednesday night. And also catch Jessica Lease on the Rob Has a Podcast Mr. Survivor Debate Roundtable, which is coming to Reality TV Wrap-Ups later this week.
Yep, I'm not sure when it's going up, but I'm getting off of this podcast and jumping right on that one.
Jess, is it true you scored the debate last night?
I did my best. I don't know. It's like when you watch the presidential debates, they have all those pundits putting their points up, and like one of the pundits always has somebody ranked ridiculously high. I might be that person. So
okay. Yes. What, was there one person that blew you away last night?
There was, but in order for people to find out who that is, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
All right. We got so much more coming up on Rob Has a Podcast. Don't miss any of it. Subscribe robhaswebsite.com/iTunes or use the Rob Has a Podcast app at robhaswebsite.com/app. Have a great night, everybody. Got like 5, 6, 7 more hours of podcasts coming up this week at least. So, you know, I don't know that I feel like you're punished because you have all this stuff to listen to. But if you get around to it, we got lots of great content coming your way. So everybody enjoy, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.